don't remember the funny. And I want to start by apologizing that we had to call you to find a new person by the program committee. That we should finalize this bill, and the only time that we should finalize it is today, because we have been affected by the fight of this work. The office of the chair of chairs didn't have input to use the report for us that they nothing and nothing that they can do. So that's why we requested that we should meet today and finalize this deal for it to be tabled in the House on Tuesday. So we want to apologize for any inconvenience that will cause the members and the staff, the workers from the strike, obviously, they needed to sort themselves in the offices. We want to apologize. We have received apologies from, and let's welcome the staff from the strike, and we hope your things have been sorted out. Well, I was told that is that till Friday they might move out there.
Firstly, we are going to work. It's only for a part of that we have to work. We are going. We were elected to work.
Okay.
We are public representatives.
Yes.
And those staff that have joined the strike, I salute them.
Okay.
I hope that they've got their courage from a certain political organization to stand up for what is rightfully there. And this is only the beginning.
No, you know, I apologize because I'm sharing members with other committees. So for me to form a forum means that I have organized other committees. That's why it's important for me to apologize. We have received the apologies from my Honorable Spain, and Honorable Mchinkulu and Honorable Jaisa and Honorable Mwari. So very cool. Yes. Thank you, Honorable McCutwell. And we have received apologies from the Minister and the Deputy Minister. Members, we are going to look at the bill. We have gone through the process where we have discussed, looked at the amendments, agreed. Today we are going to adopt it clause by clause. It will be led by Pan Peter. Yes. We are going to Parliament. Legal services are here to lead us. So as the as they present clause by clause, so members must agree on those amendments. I'm now going to hand it over to yourself, legal team from Parliament.
Oh, thanks, advisor.
Parliament, you must come next to us, because now we're in your hands. So this Parliament. Yes. Okay. Now I can see the difference why I'm confusing the people. Then we'll go back to the real by bill. So can we then Because we have dealt with this thing, remember, I don't think this is the time for them to reach the machine again. Unless these members that they want them to reach them again. So I'll just say from my side as a chair, can we agree that the amendment appear on the screen on your bill is page 1, page 2, the A list. Those are the amendments. We agree that this is the amendment that we have done ourselves as a community, as we interact with the members. Can I then move for the adoption of the amendment? Honorable McCarthy.
Thank you very much, Chair. As we discussed last time, reflected on the amendment. For me, when I went to it, it was it. Well, thank you very much, and more for the adoption. Thank you, Chair. And good morning, members. I would like to second for the adoption of the report.
Honorable
Folger? Chair, we will give the report, we're not going to first
amendment.
And Dr. Francis.
After that, we are going to look at the ages. This is the amendment that ourselves were contributed into the bill. So we discuss them, these members. So I'm tabling them, and from after that, after the adoption, then I'm going to allow them to take us through clause by clause.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, I move the adoption of the house.
Oh, thank you. Honorable, so can I continue?
I know that was part of these proposed amendments, and I would accordingly second that we proceed the way you have suggested.
Okay. Then allow the legal team to take us through the process of close by close after the adoption of the amendments that we've made as a committee. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to all the members. Advocates, find us how can you take us through, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Good morning, members, honorable members, and colleagues. Jay, for the sake of clarity, so are we going through the A list first, and then afterwards we are going through the bill clause?
Yes, what the A list was adopted.
Just wanted to make sure. So we will then go through the bill. That means that the proposed amendment as contained in the A-list is already incorporated into the bill. Thank you, Chair. So this is Bill 9B, and it incorporates all of the amendments that the committee has adopted. We are starting off with long titles. To amend the Performing Animals Protection Act 1935, so as to repeal certain sections and to insert certain definitions, to provide for the designation of a national licensing officer, provide for a procedure for the application for a license to exhibit and train performing animals or use of animals for safeguarding, to provide for the functions of a national licensing officer, to provide for the issuance of licenses, to provide for an appeals process, and to provide for matters connected therewith. That is in the long title. Be it enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa follows. The repeal of Section 2 of Act 24 of 1935, which is known as the Principal Act. The repeal of Section 3 of Act 24 of 1935. And then insertion of section 3A to CP in the Principal Act. And the sections that are inserted are as follows. Following sections are hereby inserted in the Principal Act after section 3. The designation of National Licensing Officer, section 3A. The Minister must designate a National Licensing Officer who is an officer of the Department to exercise the powers and perform the duties in terms of section 3C of this Act. Qualifications of National Licensing Officer, section 3B. The officer designated in terms of section 3A must be an animal scientist or a veterinarian. Going over to page 3 then. The functions of National Licensing Officer, section 3C. The National Licensing Officer may, in a manner that is not inconsistent with this Act or the regulations, grant a license, fuse a license, amend a license, suspend a license, reinstate a license, cancel a license, withdraw a license, attach terms, conditions, or limitations to a license, additional to those provided for in any regulation made under this Act, or request from any person or organization subject to the Promotion of Access to Information Act, any information that may require to enable the National Licensing Officer to consider an application for a license. Subsection 2, the National Licensing Officer may, in respect of a license drawn in terms of subsection 1A, suspend for such period as it may determine or cancel a license for non-compliance with this Act or any regulations made under this Act, or with any terms, conditions, or limitations attached to license in terms of section 3C and H, provided that the license holder has been informed of the non-compliance and given a reasonable opportunity to rectify the non-compliance. Paragraph D, declare such a license to be subject to such conditions as contained in this Act and the regulations made under this Act and further conditions specified to the application concerned, or withdraw the suspension of such license or any rights or privilege that is attached thereto, subject to such conditions as contained in this Act and the regulations made under this Act. Subsection 3, the National Licensing Officer must perform such other functions as may be assigned to him or her in terms of this Act. Then going to section 2.
Thank you, sir. There's no intention of delaying the process of doing it back. Just listening to the qualifications to be for the person who can be a licensing officer, the AVESH or something. Now, I've been looking for definitions. I don't know if we have got definitions somewhere in the ESSA, where we, you know, I know that there's quite a few missing. Just the situation where someone dropped in from Egypt and say, I'm a vet. Where are our divisions located? They are normally quite a lot.
Thank you, Professor. Basically, because this is an amendment to an existing Act, and the way that the bill is drafted is basically just to give you those specific sections that are being amended. However, in terms of the principal act in the manner that it was initially drafted as the 1935 Act, the definitions are captured under section 11 of the existing Act, which in terms of the bill it is page 8, but the principal act is section 8. So all the definitions are under section 8, are under section 11, and all those that the committee has suggested be amended are appearing on page 11, which is a clause 8, but which amends section 11 of the Principal Act.
Going over to section 3D, appointment of experts. The Director General may, at the request of the National Licensing Officer and subject to the laws regulating the public service, appoint such experts or other persons that may be necessary to implement this Act. Section 3E, delegation of powers and functions. The National Licensing Officer may delegate any of these or her functions under this Act to an officer in consultation with the relevant head department, or an expert or other person appointed in terms of section 3D. A delegation in terms of subsection 1 must be in writing and state the nature and extent of the delegation. A person person contemplated in Subsection 1 must comply with the qualifications set out in Section 3B. Then Section 3 is application for license. Any person who intends to exhibit an animal, trains an animal to be exhibited, or uses an animal for safeguarding must apply to the National Licensing Officer for the district in which the permanent address of the applicant is situated and must pay the prescribed fee. Then on top, on page 4, an application for license in terms of this Act must be in writing and must include the following information. A detailed description of the animal that the applicant intends to exhibit or train for exhibition or use for safeguarding. A detailed description of the general nature of the performances in which the animal is intended to be exhibited or trained to be exhibited. A detailed description of the general nature of the safeguarding in which the animal is intended to be used. A detailed description of the type of living quarters that will be provided to the animal when performing or not performing, being exhibited or trained to be exhibited or for safeguarding. Meal plans and general practices that the applicant will follow to maintain and ensure the health and well-being of the animal. The number of hours a day that the animal will be required to perform, be exhibited, trained to be exhibited or safeguarded. Written motivation for the granting of the license. Information as to whether the applicant has ever held or been refused a certificate or license in the past and proof of payment of the prescribed fee. Subsection 3, the National Licensing Officer may, with the consent of the applicant, visit the premises under the lawful control of the applicant to assess the suitability thereof for the intended exhibition, training or safeguarding of animals. In Section 3G, consideration and granting of applications for licenses by National Licensing Officer. The National Licensing Officer may grant an application for any license if he or she is satisfied with the information furnished by the applicant as contemplated by Section 3S2, and that the premises, accommodation, equipment and facilities that are utilized for the training, exhibition or performance of the animal are safe and will not cause harm to the animal. The National Licensing Officer must consider and decide on an application within 45 days after receipt of the application. Section 3A, the hearing of applications. The National Licensing Officer may make a determination when to grant, receive or amend the license on the basis of the documents submitted by the applicant. If the National Licensing Officer cannot make a determination on the documents submitted by the applicant, he or she may convene a hearing to consider any application on such that time and place as determined by him or her. The applicant and any interested person that the National Licensing Officer may request to be present at the hearing must be notified of the date, time and place of the hearing in writing at least 10 days before the date of the hearing. The National Licensing Officer may permit the applicant and any interested person to make further oral or written representations as to whether a license should be granted, refused or amended. Issuing of license, Section 3I, the National Licensing Officer must, within 7 days after making a decision, inform the applicant in writing of the granting, refusal or amendment of license and notify the applicant of the date, time and place for collection of such license. Then on the top of page 5, duration of license, Section 3J. A license is valid for a period of 12 calendar months from the date of the issue thereof. Validity of license, Section 3K. A license is valid for use anywhere within the Republic of South Africa unless the exhibition training for exhibition of an animal or use of an animal for safeguarding is specifically prohibited in terms of a provincial law or municipal bylaw enforced within that specific jurisdiction. Section 3L, the suspension, withdrawal or amendment of the license. The National Licensing Officer may suspend, withdraw or amend the license if the applicant no longer complies with the conditions subject to which the license was issued. The National Licensing Officer may not suspend, withdraw or amend the license unless the license holder in question has been informed of the intended suspension, withdrawal or amendment and the grounds upon which it is based and afforded a reasonable opportunity to make written representations or to rectify any deficiency within the period specified by the National Licensing Officer. If a license is refused, suspended, cancelled or withdrawn, an applicant must cease the training, exhibition or use of an animal for safeguarding. Section 3N, which deals with the right of appeal. A person who feels aggrieved by any decision or action by the National Licensing Officer in terms of this Act may appeal in a prescribed manner to the Minister against such decision or action. Section 3N, the Appeal Board composition and membership. The Minister may constitute a board known as the Appeal Board to investigate and consider any appeal referred to it in terms of section 301. The board must consist of at least three members appointed by the minister, of whom one person must be appointed on account of his or her knowledge in the relevant fields of the law, and two or more persons must have expert knowledge of the subject of the appeal. The person referred to in subsection 2A must be designated as the chairperson. The remuneration of a member of the board must be described. Any person appointed in terms of subsection 2 must accuse himself or herself as a member of the board if he or she has any direct or indirect personal interest in the outcome of the appeal. Section 3O, investigation and consideration by the board. The minister may refer an appeal to the board. An appeal must be heard on the date, time and place determined by the chairperson. The chairperson must inform the appellant and any other party that has an interest in the appeal in writing of the date, time and place of the hearing. At the top on page 6, subsection 4, the chairperson may, for the purposes of the hearing of an appeal, summon any person who may have material information concerning the subject of the hearing or who has in his or her possession or custody or under his or her control any document which has any bearing upon the subject of the hearing, to appear before the board at the date, time and place specified in the summons, to be questioned or to produce the document, and the chairperson may retain for examination any document so produced. And the chairperson may, for the purposes of hearing the appeal, administer an oath to or accept an affirmation from any person called as a witness at the hearing. Section 5, a person who appeals in terms of Section 3M and the National Licensing Officer may be represented. If a member of the board dies during the investigation of the appeal, or so soon before the commencement of the investigation that the vacancy cannot be filled in time, or is unable to act and another person cannot be appointed in time, or if after the investigation has commenced, unable to continue therewith, the parties may agree that the investigation be continued by the remaining members of the board. Where the member of the board who has died or has become incapacitated as envisaged in subsection 6, was or is the chairperson of the board, the minister must designate one of the remaining members of the board to act as chairperson. The consideration.
I decided to wait until get to more or less the stage where we are. Going back to page 5, that the one also. Authority, a reasonable opportunity.
Okay.
But there could very well be a very, very substantive process. I wonder if it's too late for us to prescribe a period that we all agree would be a reasonable period. Somebody would say 3 days is reasonable, another one would say 30 days is reasonable. I think the South African law, generally speaking, has got a tendency to look at something like 14 days or 10 days or 20 days. I think our legal gurus would give us some guidance there so that there is no ambiguity, ultimate subjectivity. And then to page 6, 305, and page 6, below B, and it's legal. A person who appeals in terms of Section 3M, a national officer, may be represented. Now, in the previous paragraph, that is A, 4A, there is provision for the official or the national officer to summon. Let's call it an expert witness. Whereas now here, the applicant or the appellate is not given authority to bring in an expert witness. It simply says we represent it. Now, representation, I would argue, is different from an additional witness that you might want to call in, lead evidence, say, you know, in your favor, so to speak. That's something different from a representation. You could call in, you know, a lawyer or something, you know, to represent you, whereas you might have wanted to strengthen your case to someone to have a, you know, authority to bring in a witness in your favor. Can we apply minds to that, sir? Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. On the level of being paid, usually the specific time frame would be the regulation. In most of the bills, and that's a, it depends whether we want to tie it here ourselves. So the implication is that you are not going to implement it. People who are implementing it, if they don't implement. So that's why usually we specify the regulation with the minister that is going to implement the legislation. So I'm not sure whether we maybe let's send it in two or five.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the first question, to stipulate on the exact time frame, I would actually, on my view, concede to what the person has indicated, that some of the indicators and circumstances of the case, you can only ascertain once the case is before you. Hence, when is a reasonable opportunity? Generally speaking, there are time frames that are given in law or that are understood to apply. Whereas if we are going to specify in this specific provision, it might be a difficulty that is going to be confronted by the people that will be implementing the act and having to comply with a situation that is difficult to conform to due to the circumstances. So that basically would be my view on the first point. On the second one, Chairperson, if I may go to it as well, which is the question addressing the principles of justice and fairness. It is generally given, in other words, it is tribal that when a person is facing accusation or when there must be some form of a trial or an arbitrary defense that a person must answer to. And in this case, the person will be feeling aggrieved of the decision. So in terms of the principles of justice and fairness, any person that has to undergo such a process is got right and is also given the chance to a fair trial or to a fair a process where he is listened to and given a chance. So any witness that such a person would want to bring, having made an application to the chairperson and indicated by notice, definitely that would be a given. So I don't think it's necessary that we specify such a requirement because it is already given in law and in the principles of justice and fairness. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In the last couple of meetings, my colleague, Mr. Stone, made a very strong case for the Clause 3, as reflected on page 4, the National Licensing Officer may, that the may must be replaced with a must when consent is given that the premises be visited where animals are kept for exhibition, training, etc., to assess the suitability of these premises.
We should not, even if we are for the team members to raise issues, those that were debated and resolved them would not be discussed again. If you remember this issue, there was an explanation of the may and the must. We went, I'm for the whole day discussing the may and the must, Honorable Yafus. We cannot take that route again. So that's why we agreed on the may. with the issue that are raised by Honorable Sultan, the first one, as I've indicated, that's my understanding. But the second one, as members, as we debate the legislation, we should not forget that there are other legislation that has been passed by ourselves, even if we were not here, in other portfolios, like the issue of justice and fairness. Today, it's already a legislation. There are other constitutional requirements that are there that we can't change. So, with your advice, I'm not sure, Honorable Sultan, you still have the, you still insist that you should reconsider.
another reason, Chair, why I raise this is because in 864A, right at the top, there is specific provision in favor of the licensing officer, whereas now the applicant has not been provisioned for. May for purpose of the hearing appear someone in person. Now the chairperson is sitting across, the applicant is on this side of the table. Now the chairperson is accorded specific authority or license to summon people, whereas the applicant is not catered for. So if we were to delete A, I would be comfortable. But if we keep A, then we must provide specifically for authority for or rather for permission for the appellant to summon people.
Because even from the first day of your appeal, you can bring all the witnesses, whether it's a train or what, but it will depend on the matter of that time. So when it comes to the appeal court, the board, before they take a decision, they should actually satisfy themselves that what you are explaining and the licensing officer has explained is in relation to legislation or it's in line with the constitution and all those things around you. Is it actually your capacitating this autonomous make final decision to advise the minister? By the way, still going to advise the minister. The minister might again say, and the issue of master may, as explained previously, we're dealing with legislation. We are not the implementers of the legislation. We should never forget that we are dealing with the legislation. We are not the implementers. We expect those executing authorities, people who have that responsibility to implement the legislation. So the issue that you are raising, honestly, is just like, I can't explain it that well, but I'm staying here and explain it properly. For the people who are in the crawl for within a traditional institution, if the case is taken to His Majesty, those that are bringing the case, they bring the witnesses to say, this is, which is going to prove that this is a process that they follow. They justify the process that was right, and these are the people that were involved in those processes. It's the justification of the process itself. Yes. You wanted to answer, not at Oxford.
Thank you, Chair President. With your permission, if I can perhaps add this crucial distinction into this question, especially for subsection 4 and 5. Subsection 5 is enabling the presentation when there is an appeal. And I think Honorable Sultan has started there to indicate that 5 is providing certain things to the applicant or the complainant, so why not add this? Whereas 4 is also an enabling provision to give functions to a chairperson and to guide what the chairperson can do, specifically for the task that has been given, as the chairperson has indicated. So if we look at subsection 5, the necessity that resulted in this provision is because if we look at section 35 of the Constitution, legal representation or any legal representation is constitutionally given in criminal cases. And there is a judgment that has been decided by the court to say it's not a given that in civil matters, in this instance, like your administrative issues or other issues that are civil, that legal representation is a given. So in this instance, that is why Section 5 is legislated to stipulate that representation in such instances is open and you can have it, and it's your choice as to how you go about with your representation. But it is legal stipulated in the Act itself, and I think that's a crucial distinction that I just thought I should bring forth to provide the background understanding as to why specifically then deal with the provision of representation and not all the other rights or processes that the applicant may have.
I will try to explain it more than we can. So I don't want us to, but I was not debating today. We are looking at the issues of my thoughts and start to say that's why I have accommodated these issues, because as we are going to not by law, we must actually make sure that something does not pass through without as much seeing it. So, we still want to refine.
I'm fine, Chair. I trust the only cannot see.
Okay, thank you very much. If you didn't ask me, I can't. I'm not a legal person. Okay, thank you very much. Can we proceed?
Thank you, Chair. I think we are starting on Section 3B, which deals with the consideration of appeal by the minister. It's at least on page 6. Where the minister has referred an appeal to the board in terms of section 301, he or she may confirm or set aside the recommendations to the board and order the national licensing officer to excuse the decision in connection therewith. Where the minister considers an appeal, he or she may confirm, set aside or vary the decision of the national licensing officer and order the national licensing officer to execute the decision in connection therewith. The decision of the minister must be in writing and a copy thereof must be furnished to the national licensing officer, appellant and any other party that has an interest in the appeal. If the minister sets aside any decision or action by the national licensing officer, the prescribed fee paid by the appellant in respect of the appeal must be refunded to him or her. Or, if the minister varies any decision or action by the national licensing officer, the minister may direct that the whole or any part of such fee be refunded to the appellant. Then, coming to the amendment of Section 4 of the Principal Act, which is Clause 4 of the Bill, the right of entry. In addition to the powers conferred by any other law, any police officer may, at any reasonable time, enter upon any premises, flight or vehicle in which animals are maintained or kept or confined for the purposes of exhibition or of being trained or of being transported or in which animals used for safeguarding or maintained, kept, confined or conveyed.
Yes,
relatively minor, but I think just as what I say may be important. I think the word principle should be stuck with a capital letter because we're referring to a particular S, if my understanding is correct.
Okay.
Chair, if I might clarify, the way in which we draw, the format of the drafting, as you can see, we use the word act in capital letters. So it's just a technicality, but the way in which our drafting format is done, we always use the P in lowercase and the act, the A of the act in uppercase. Thank you. if I may please, Chair. Paragraph B, in addition to the power conferred by any other law, any police officer may inspect any such animals, that's on page 7 at the top, inspect any such animals, premises, places, or vehicles as may fully inquire into the measures and methods by which such animals are controlled, restrained, trained, or used, and the cause of feeding such animals. Excuse the chair, if I can just explain again, if we put a word in bracket, it means that we are moving them. So that's why I'm not reading them as we go through. And then, paragraph C.
Remember, members, the draft B. That's the matter.
Getting any exhibition of trained animals or getting the use of animals for safeguarding or at any other time enter upon any premises, place or vehicle or portion thereof used in connection with such exhibition or used in order to inspect such premises, place or vehicle, the animals present therein and the conditions under which such animals are maintained, controlled and set during such exhibition or use and at other times. Then the amendment of Section 5 of the Principal Act, which is also Clause 5 of the Bill, the obstruction of police officer. Any person who willfully obstructs, delays or otherwise interferes with the police officer in the exercise of the powers herein granted, or who conceals any animal with intent to defeat the exercise of such powers, or otherwise hampers or impedes the exercise of such powers, is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine not exceeding 20,000 rand, or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years, in addition to any other penalty imposed for the contravention of any provision of this Act, or any regulation made thereunder. Then over to amendment of Section 7, which is Clause 6 of this Act, of the Bill.
Okay, so as far as Section 5.5 is concerned, didn't we agree, I know we talked about it, that it would be a fine or imprisonment or both? I don't see or both.
Honourable member? That's I can't remember. for myself. But members must help us. Honorable Mandela and Honorable Makwekwane, we said just before of the boat. Have you ever spoken about the boat? I can't remember, honestly, and I've been, we would suggest that that one was not sure about the boat. I don't remember. But let me put to you, members. We have to include Honorable Sultana.
Thank you, Chair. I think our legal advisors are better positioned to give us a political opinion. I'll tell you why. With due respect, Chair. Generally, the crime of obstructing, an officer would have a generally accepted level of punishment. Generally. It doesn't refer to any specific crime. But one would also factor in the fact that you look at the consequences of obstructing such an officer. And that's where the issue of severity, of the sentence would be. Personally, I would say either or should be sufficient. I don't think it would be dealing with animals at the end of the day. I don't think we need to go for the judgment here and say both. That's just my confident opinion.
But in terms of the law, can it be done like that? Whether it is.
the form of license which must be issued in respect of licensed animals, and the form of amendments which may be made on such licenses. The information to be supplied for the issuing of a license refers to in subparagraph 1, which includes the manner of identification of an animal, and then C, the method and form of confinement and accommodation of any animal class, species or variety of animals in respect of which a license has been issued, whether travelling or being transported or stationary, any other reasonable requirements which may be necessary to prevent cruelty or suffering in the exhibition, training, maintenance, use or travelling of animals in respect of which a license has been granted. And then we've added additional paragraph, BA, the manner in which a person may appeal against a decision or action taken by the National Licensing Officer, the fee to be paid by a person who appeals a decision or action taken by the National Licensing Officer, the remuneration to be paid to a member of the board, and E, a penalty or a fine not exceeding 20,000 or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years for contravention of any regulation, and generally for the better carrying out of the objects and purposes of this Act. So we're stopping at the top of page 8, the amendment of Section 8 of the Principal Act that deals with penalties. Any person contravening the provisions of this Act or any regulation made thereunder for which a penalty has not been prescribed or any condition of a license is guilty of an offence as liable on conviction to a fine not exceeding 20,000 rand or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years. And then we've deleted subsections 2 and 3. Over to the amendment of Section 11 of the Principal Act. This is now the section that deals with the definitions. Section 11 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution for the definition of animal of the same definition. Animal means any equine, bovine, sheep, goat, pig, fowl, ostrich, dog, cat, or other domestic animal or bird, or any wild animal or wild bird which is in captivity or under control of a person. By the insertion of the definition after the definition of animal of the following definition, animal scientist means a person registered as a professional natural scientist in the field of animal science in terms of Section 23 of the Natural Scientific Professions Act 2003. Board means a board referred to in Section 3N1, which is the appeal board. By the deletion of the definition of certificate, by the insertion of the definition of exhibit of the following definition, the head of department means a head of department as defined in the Public Service Act of 1994. By the insertion after the definition of minister of the following definitions, national licensing officer means the officer designated in terms of Section 3A. An officer means a person appointed in terms of the Public Service Act of 1994 and employed in a national or provincial department. By the substitution for the definition of use for safeguarding of the following definition, use for safeguarding means the training, use, or placing at disposal for gain, or the letting of an animal with a view to or for the protection of persons and property. And by the insertion after the definition of use for safeguarding of the following definition, veterinarian means a person registered in terms of the Veterinary and Paraveterinary Profession Act of 1982 to practice a veterinary profession as defined in Section 1 of that Act. Then at the top of page 9, the insertion of a new section 11B into the Principal Act, which deals with the transitional arrangement. A license issued in terms of the repealed Section 2 of this Act, or a certificate issued in terms of the repealed Section 3 of this Act, is deemed to have been issued in terms of Section 3I of this Act, and remains valid until the license or certificate expires or is suspended, cancelled, withdrawn, or amended by the National Licensing Officer. Anything done or any decisions taken in terms of the repeal Section 2 or 3 of this Act is deemed to have been done or taken by the National Licensing Officer. Any application for a license or certificate made before the commencement of the Performing Animals Protection Amendment Act of 2015 must be processed by the National Licensing Officer in accordance with any criteria contained in the repeal Sections 2 and 3 of this Act. Any litigation conducted or criminal proceedings pending before a court before the commencement of the Performing Animals Protection Amendment Act of 2015 must be processed and finalized as if Sections 2 and 3 of this Act had not been reviewed. Then the amendment of certain expressions in the Act. The Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution for the expression a dog for safeguarding, any dog for safeguarding, or dog for safeguarding, wherever it occurs, of relevant expression of animal and animal for safeguarding, inanimal society body or animal society body. And then the short title, this act is called the Performing Animal Protection Amendment Act and comes into operation on a date fixed by proclamation in Gazette. Thank you, Chief.
Okay. So, thank you very much. Can we then go to blog by blog? Blocks 1 and 2, this is page 11 of the memorandum of on the object of the performing animal protection amendment bill. Clause 1 and 2, agreed? Agreed, member? Are you not, Honorable Sultan?
Yes, are we?
Yes, sir. Okay, close by close.
Okay,
page 1 is 1 and 2, clause 1 and 2, which entails the definition of the bill until the page 1, Honorable Sultan, of the Jeep Bill. This one? Yes.
when this thing was in its very advanced age.
I didn't know if animal rights activists would really have the opportunity to come and speak on behalf of the animals that are being prodded and told to perform for the amusement of petty little human beings. So I'm at a loss here. I'm here because as I'm watching how Homo sapiens are deciding on the fate of lesser beings.
will note the objection of the EFF.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You must go to court and tell them your objection. Don't tell us yet. I'm looking honorable person. We will note it to you.
I appreciate your humorous approach to it. We had a little bit yesterday. The really serious issues were responded to with much humor. And this is a very serious issue. This I, as an animal lover, I'm actually in tears.
I hope you love it in the water. There are people who love animals and not love human beings, but because maybe you can speak for themselves. But I hope you love both of us, animals and people.
I love all of God's beautiful creation. All of it.
Okay. Thank you. Now, we've noted the objection of the EFF. The report, I'll then request who as the chair to read the report that will be accompanied the bill to the House.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members and colleagues. The report, committee report, report of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries on the Performing Animals Protection Amendment Bill, Bill Number 9, 2016. Dated 20 November 2015, the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, having considered the subject matter of the Performing Animal Protection Amendment Bill, Bill Number 9 of 2015, National Assembly Section 75, referred to it on 3 March 2015, CATC 3 March 2015, and classified by Joint Tagging Mechanism GTM as Section 5 Bill, CATC 9 April 2015, reports the bill with amendment, Bill 9B of 2015. Report to be considered. Thank you.
That's the report that will be tabled to the House. As a race member, can we get the mover? Honorable Mandela.
Agreed, Chair. I move for the adoption of the bill.
Second deck. Honorable Yanko. Honorable Yombu? Are you still in the meeting? Okay. For adopting the report that must go to the National Assembly. One second. Second. Oh, second. Then it goes to the National Assembly. Okay, thank you very much. It's Friday. I could see member Natayash here. Thank you very much. That was the pop-up bill. It will go to the House on Tuesday. I hope we've met the deadline of the court, because the court court here. So we are on time.
More than on time, 17. We have until August 2016.
Oh. Yes, at least we have done our best, so there is enough place for the NCOP and the president to ignite the bill to put his signature before the August. And thank you very much, member. Let's go to item number two, the minutes. And thank you very much, our legal team has been so wonderful. On Monday it was my birthday and I forgot to bring the cake, so I'll do it for you some other time. Thank you very much. Remember? Yeah, I know. Not you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chairperson, is this our last meeting for the year, or are we going to be here today?
They need to know today. So we're still coming. Let's look at the minutes. We're still coming on that.
Thank you,
The minutes of the 27th October, page 1.
Why
do you is, I want us to start on the last. You can find all the settings there. Let's look at the settings. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. And page 6. Can we get a mover for the adoption? Honorable Mangera.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to move for the adoption of the minutes of the 13th of October 2015 as the current version of the meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Second, Honorable Paul, sir.
I second
the note. The note, Honorable Paul, sir.
I second the note, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. For the 15th of October, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Can we get the mover for the adoption of the minutes, Honorable Yongo?
I move that we accept the minutes of the meeting on 14th October.
There is a mover, Honorable Sultan.
I second the motion.
Thank you very much. Let's look at the 16th October 2015 minutes. Page 1. Page 2. And page 3. Can we get the mover for the adoption? Honorable Pulemabi.
I move for the adoption of the minutes for the school expression of what transpired on that day.
The mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 16th of October.
Second the motion.
I see you were there.
The Honorable Young Blood Seconder. Thank you. The minutes of the 27th of October. Take 1. And page 2. Honorable Mandela.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to move for the adoption of the minutes of the 27th of October 2015 as a true reflection of the meeting. Thank you.
The move on the second.
I move that the motion be my second special. Thanks.
The second, Honorable Young, who second the adoption of the minute of the 27th October 2015 as the true reflection of that day. Thank you very much. That was the last minute. Honorable members, our committee is supposed to meet on Tuesday, but we're told that the plenary starts at 10 next week on Tuesday. So I was suggesting that if we can utilize the 1 hour from 9 to 10 o'clock, get the minister and the department to come and brief us about their response to that drought. If members agree with that, we can then proceed to invite them. Agreed? Thank you very much. And then, honorable members, we have tabled the request for the nomination of the member of NMC. So members, we have requested you to submit the CV to Albertina for the for the committee to nominate. In terms of the act, we are allowed to nominate as a committee and forward our nomination on behalf of the House to the minister. So we requested that members should get CVs and forward them to Albertina. But the other processes that the minister has done, especially the public, those adverts on the newspapers and all that. So this is the process of the committee. Committee members, you can actually have people that you know they can qualify and be forwarded to the minister for the consideration and he appoints the board. So please, forward to Albertina those CVs. And then as a committee, we are going to look at them and screen them and agree with those that we think they qualify and send them to the minister. Honorable person.
Thank you, Chief. Are we going to decide on one as a collective, or is it a number of people?
The council constitutes by 10 people, which the entire council is large. So members can bring as much as you can, as long as they qualify. Please don't bring people that you know they are not qualified because you might not have time to read all the CVs. And the requirements are on section 4 of the Act. So, and the members receive the Act. So, just look at the CV before you bring it here, whether the person qualifies in line with those requirements. Submit to Argentina. And we have a deadline. Minister has given us until when? 10th April next year because initial date we have received the letter from the speaker already. The deadline has passed and we wrote back to the speaker and the speaker wrote back to the minister, which were given extension until the 30th April. So it means that the first thing that we'll do as we come back next year, we'll look at the CVs and forward them to the minister. Honorable Madam.
Oh, thanks, Chief. Just to follow up on the question that the honorable person asked, I'm saying, is there a number or our submissions have got exactly the same standing status as those that have been done out there in the public domain?
Yes.
Because I thought that out of persuasion and to also reinforce this multi-party process, it may work to also understand if there's going to be some consideration given to submissions made by the portfolio committee. I'm just imagining Honorable Sultana going and coming with 30 CVs, and ultimately we don't even, not even a single one makes it to the shortlist. You know, because these things of CVs, appointments of people, and all of that, they trigger emotions. You know, they are quite emotional things. So I'm just saying, it's sentimental, but it's a very important area to just check. And I think Honorable Colson is correct. You have to check if there's no number allocated to what the portfolio committee could be able to.
There's no number. Part of the nomination. And that is something that is the act which is passed by us as Parliament, which says that we should nominate. And the thing, you know, our nomination is equal to the nomination of the public. So it's the act that describes which the minister can decide to take those from us or from public or whatever, if there is any other. I'm not sure even whether how the minister invites the denominations. Honorable Colson, Honorable Yogurt. Oh, Honorable.
Okay, Tati, you want to go first? Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think it's very important that as a committee, whichever applicant we are going to forward via this committee must meet with those criteria as specified in the, and also from the minister's side, wherever he gets applicants from, must meet with that criteria. So we're not going to just put through names for the sake of putting through names, but they must meet with that criteria, and it doesn't matter who brings that, who invites that applicant via this committee, it's still going to go through the same process. Just to, and of course, when they meet the minimum requirements, we will then balance all the other things, gender, all those other beautiful things, challenges that we have as South Africans. But it's just for the sake of fairness, they meet with minimum criteria.
Yeah, I think members, as well, we should deal with this thing. We should look at it and whether we still want to do this. But for me, it's a useless exercise that the committee is going through. If our nomination has got the same thing with all these, why should we do it? Why should we do it on behalf of the people? And because we are here representing the people. And if it's not being considered that we are representing people, then we're taken as individuals, then the problem. So I think as we're going to look at it, because there are a lot of acts that say we must do those things. We should look at the act, whether we want to put the amendments, and so that we don't rub our hands. Because at some point, you find that maybe already the list has been there waiting to be signed. Now we're just having the, you know, we're just accompanying the process. We are just legitimizing the process. So for me, it's not worth it, our time. So we'll look next year. We're going to look at the name. I think our staff must bring the all the apps that actually say we must nominate them to this thing. Whether we should then start the process. It's either we give it a better standing or we withdraw our participation altogether. One of us will come.
If I can see you jump, yeah. Me, you jump, or not.
Oh, good. Oh, by the way.
No, mine, I think you have covered them. I really think that, Jefferson, we need to look at that, and we need to amend it. So that at least as a collective, yes, the voice is heard. So we'll have to do that. But over and above that, the minister also must take the committee's prayer. So that if we get into that exercise as we did, for the day, council, let's sit down here, get cities, the committee agrees, once as a whole, we send this it's a discussion, we send, but what we need is a feedback, so that the committee is aware as to what happened to the list, I mean to the appointment, whom did they appoint, so that we can see if the name that the committee agreed to was never considered. Yes, agreed, it is a process, I mean, it is a decision. But at least we are a committee here. Yeah, that can be had. But at least that's what we will need to amend the sentence, so that we can say.
The question of priority. How many people must be appointed? The entire board or just one? The entire board, 10 people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honorable Patana and Honorable
Madi. I think we should try to move in the direction of abdicating our duty as public representatives. So we should still embrace the responsibility of being part of the selection process. Because some people only hear sometimes about these positions in the board's focus. They may have missed it to the media. But representing people gives us the responsibility to talk to the people. And we know the particular constituencies who are persons who are relevant to this and, you know, back home. So let's continue to embrace that. But thinking about mending the apps, my suggestion, I agree with that in principle, my suggestion specifically would be that it's either people who come to us are given more waiting, or alternatively, to be fair to everybody, we are apportioned a certain number of appointments. You know, if there's 10, maybe the minister will say, we'll give you 3 or 4. Then we know that we will get results out of our exercise. That's what I would recommend. That's it.
I can't remember, let's not debate, because we'll have time to have a lot of debate. What do we want? Honorable Martin.
I did not want to enter the debate, but I think this is just on what the Honorable Makhebana and Honorable Kiltani are raising. Without necessarily venturing into the debate, it's very important that we take that aspect forward. Because while we are South Africans, but when we make a submission as a portfolio committee of agriculture, there must be a weight associated with that, because these people in turn liaise with us on the when they perform their own, whether it's fiduciary or when they perform their own responsibilities in there. But also the question of feedback, maybe we should also mandate the chair just to take it up with the ministry at the department to make sure that where things have been processed with the committee, there is some way of giving feedback. Because what we do sometimes, and the most painful part, that's why people tend to believe that politicians are themselves liars. Because when you tell us of a process, we go around and ask people to bring stuff. You know, I mean, last year I had to go out the country asking CVs of young people, you know, for a marine process. And then afterwards, not even a single one of them knows. So now, the next time when I call, they just say, hey, here is that liar calling again. So I'm just saying, I don't want to, you see, integrity is very important. I looked around, even in Cape Town, they are no shocked at selling integrity. You lose it, it's gone. Thanks.
No, I think we agree, members. We'll have time, January, we'll look at this thing, and of course, we need to have our meeting first before we invite the department. At that time, we have agreed how we want to approach it, and then we'll call the minister. In your presence, I don't want to think that I must go alone. If the committee thing, we'll then request the minister to consider. If we were taking a particular position, we'll present it to the minister in the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. That suggestion is very good, because I see you don't have any corruption. But those ones that are pushing for special favors for the Africans coming by the committee, those people are very corrupt. They can report those ones. It is not our job, Chairperson, to be a favorable channel for Africans. We must exercise oversight over this whole process to make sure that everyone treats it fairly. Even when it comes to those marine vacancies, our role is to exercise oversight over the whole process, not to be a channel for Africans. We must actually not put forward applicants. Applicants must go via the same channel. We must actually go and be part of the vetting process for those applicants. We must never favor anyone coming via this. That brings corruption. That's where it starts.
No, that's what can I clarify, Honorable Mark? I think Honorable Colonel, is the act, is the act that actually determines that the portfolio committee and the committee must nominate. So, and forward their nomination to minister. So that's what we're saying, that if next year we'd have to look at that act, whether it is our nomination that is worth it, can we just be part of conveyor belt, or we're supposed to oversight efforts, assist, and all those other issues. So tomorrow as we cross the board, we find that there is no performance. Those people, majority of those people, is who said minister must appoint them. What will then be the implication? So I think those are the things that we must look as we're going to deal with these issues, whether the process itself, does it give the committee the opportunity to oversight properly? Because we'll find that minister is just in your list, 10 of them, they come here, they don't know anything, but they got a good certificate. What do you do? It's yourself, it's your people as a committee. Those are the things that we must discuss and look at them in the next meeting. Thank you very much. Honorable man.
No, I just wanted to clarify that you see, we have got constituency offices in the party that I come from, and we see these communities. One of the things that communities do is that they visit our constituency offices to look for information. And when we get this information that we need people, Honorable Ponce, we don't take it to a march or a run. We take it to a constituency office so that it's easier for people to... So I just thought that they must just give you that time.
Yeah, so, you know, these are youth, you know, things they like to play with English. Thank you very much, members. I think members, you're quite the end. Let's even those that we're encouraging them to apply, let's show them that those requirements, it should not be our job even to. Because sometimes it can even create tensions between yourself and the constituency that say, no, you are not qualified. Just give them the act. They must look whether they qualify or not. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
And I think
we're
going to
You can very fully say that. No, I don't think they can. I'll be not thinking. Thank you.